Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. And here we go. Iceman Insights on Amusement Park Radio, 96.9 FM, WYIR. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster, the master of ceremonies, Iceman Insights. On IcemanManiacs.com, Michael Shockley, good happy Thanksgiving. How was it and how are you doing?
I'm still full of turkey.
Nice.
Which is different from what I'm usually full of.
True.
Just ask anyone.
And you'll prove that here shortly.
Uh-huh. I do every time we do this show, right? But yeah, good holiday.
Yeah.
Nice to have a four-day weekend.
Yes, very nice. And our Evansville Icemen. Winners up in Alaska, they get 2 of 3 games, tough road trip there, and they bring back points, 3 of their last 4, so Iceman playing some good hockey of late.
3-9 start, so they win 3 out of the first 12, and now they've won 3 out of their last 4, despite giving up over 40 shots in all 4 of those games. Yes, the Thanksgiving trip to Alaska, first time the Icemen have ever ventured to Anchorage, and they arrived last Wednesday to adjust to the 3-hour time difference. They had Thursday off for Thanksgiving, and then they played Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Once they did hit the ice, they got to adjust not only to the time, but they play on the big international size rink in Anchorage.
Yes, they do.
And when you're a small, speedy team like the Icemen, that can actually play into your advantage, and apparently it did, because the Icemen won 4-2 on Friday night, had a setback, lost 4-1 on Saturday, but on Sunday they bounced back with a 5-3 victory. In that game, Alex Guptill had the season's first hat trick. So, big, long, both in distance and duration trip to Alaska, but they go up and they get 4 out of 6 points. And I think anytime you play 3 games in 3 days on the road, 4 out of 6 points is a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when the road involves planes.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it was only a few years ago, too, that the Alaska Aces, that's where teams went to die.
Oh, yeah.
They would make the trip up there, and that team was so good, they ended up winning the Kelly Cup Championship 3 years ago. And they're struggling a little bit this year, but not to take anything away from the Icemen. That's a long trip over the holidays, and they come back with 4 points. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's good to see the offense finally coming alive.
Oh, my goodness. It's been pretty few and far between.
Indeed.
It's like loving in my house.
Only 20 goals in the first 11 games, which is an average of 1.82 per game. But in the last 5 games, the Icemen have scored 17 goals, which is 3.4 per game. They have managed to get their season-long average up to 2.31 per game, which is still 27th out of the 28 teams in the ECHL. But raising your average offensive output by a half a goal per game in just 5 games is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, that also tells you how low they were to begin with.
Yeah, and John Peterson has talked about the stat quite a few times about a lot of times this team starts down after one period of play, and it's and that's always kind of difficult to battle back from, and it's good to see them to start score some goals.
Yeah, they're still starting slow, though. That is a problem that has not gone away. They have scored first in just three of their 16 games. They have held a lead after the first period just once. It's tough when you're always playing from behind. The Icemen have been outscored 16-4 in the first period this season. They only have four goals on 141 shots in the first period, which, to tell you how ridiculous that is, that means opponent goalies have a .972 save percentage against the Icemen in the first period. I would like to think that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
But you never know. Yep. We're almost a quarter of the way through the season. That's a pretty decent sample size.
Yes, yes it is.
So you hope that has to turn around. Every other team in the league has scored at least 10 goals in the first period, and the Icemen only have four. So they're taking shots. They just, sooner or later, you think they got to start going in.
Well, we'll see. That gets tough, too, because after you get that first 20 minutes in, if you're up by a goal or two goals, then that's when you can start shutting it down. You don't have to press offensively. That center can come back a little bit more and help out the defenseman, and you can grind out 2-0, 3-1 wins. It's really hard to get points in any league when you start down 1-0, 2-0 multiple times.
Yeah, and that's when it snowballs and it turns into a 5-1 loss because you're taking chances that you wouldn't if you had the lead. So, looking at some individuals that are leading the team, Tyson Fawcett, all 5'7" of him on skates, had 9 goals in 59 games with the Brampton Beast last year, but he already has a team-leading 8 goals in the 16 games this year. He's on pace for over 30. I don't know if he'll keep that up, but that's a very good pace for a second-year player who's looking to continue his ascent in pro hockey. And familiar face Dalton Levier, second on the team with 7 goals. He is tied also with Ryan Penny for the team lead with 10 points. So those are your leaders on a team that is devoid of much offense.
Yeah, not sure we expected that from Tyson Fawcett, but we expected it from Dalton Levier.
Yes.
So.
And an update on the trade that we haven't really had a chance to discuss. Nathan Moon has 5 assists and is -7 in 11 games with the Icemen. The man we traded to Colorado for Moon, Joe Zarbo, has 3 goals and 2 assists and is -1 in 10 games with the Eagles. Thoughts on that trade? We haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah, I love bringing Nathan Moon back in. It was a disaster a few years ago with some internal stuff that forced the trade to begin with, but you're missing the most important stat. What's the win-loss record of the two teams since the trade? Because I know Nathan Moon is at least 4 wins. So I think he came in when this team had either 1 win or 2 wins, and he's been on the ice for at least 4 of them.
Colorado's not doing well either. I think it was one of those teams that both teams just felt like they needed to do something, and it could end up being a win-win for both. Now, Moon got off to a slow start here. We were playing better, I think, but statistically he got off to a slow start, and of course then, you know, all the people who said they loved the trade when it was made start coming out of the woodwork saying, why'd we make this trade?
Well, and the only statistics that matters is wins and losses. And this team is a lot better with Nathan Moon on it, both in the locker room and on the ice. And nothing against Joe Zarbo, but younger player, very dynamic. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a great player for Colorado, and he may be able to carve out a real nice career up there. But we needed something more in that locker room with experience at the ECHL level that Joe Zarbo wasn't going to give us. And you got to give up talent for talent.
And it's been more important recently because of some of the injuries to the other few veterans on this team. So, I think there's definitely, you know, you hate to see a guy of Zarbo's talent go out. And while you wish him the best, you sort of don't want to see him be this superstar that we gave up. But at the same time, exactly. You have to give up talent to get talent. And there's a lot of things that Nathan Moon brings to the table that don't show up on the score sheet. And those are things that this team was lacking.
It's always been my favorite thing. Any city I've ever lived in, any team I've ever followed, and you hear people say, that guy's horrible, he's horrible, he's horrible, we need to trade him to somebody and get a great player.
Yeah.
Like, if you know he's horrible, if you're sitting in the stands knowing he's horrible, every general manager knows he's horrible.
Right.
And you're not going to get someone great for someone who's horrible. It's just the way it works.
You're not going to trade a third-line winger for Nathan Moon.
Yeah.
So anyway, And in the back, in net, the Icemen have actually been in pretty good shape in net this year. Scott Grenham has a 203 goals against average and a 939 save percentage in three starts. Christopher Bengtsberg is at 248 and 914 overall, but after a couple of rough starts, he is actually at 202 and 935 in his last five starts. And with Grenham up in Binghamton and Bengtsberg currently hurt, the new kid on the block, Cody Reichard, former Comet and Fuel and other teams, is at 267 and 938 in three starts since joining the team via his couch in Indy. Those three guys are a combined 242 and 928 in their starts. And if you look across the league, those numbers would be 7th in goals against average and 4th in save percentage, which is not too shabby.
Yeah, those are big-time goal numbers, right? Goal-saving numbers.
Right. So you start putting more pucks in the net, you keep the goaltending the way it's been, and this team could be quite all
right. Right, but that's what we talked about in the preseason when we were leading up to this and looking over the roster, and we said, where are the goals going to come from?
Right.
And guess what? You know, I'm going to spend a little moment here to pat ourselves on the back because we had concerns about goals at the ECHL level from this roster, and we're having problems scoring goals at the ECHL.
Well,
we
said it before the season, and I think it still holds true, and I said it, I reiterated on the Asylum a couple weeks ago. I still don't see a single offensive player on this team who is a game changer that other teams have to game plan against.
Yep.
And when you don't have that kind of talent, it makes it that much easier for teams to just play their style of game and dictate the play and not have to worry about matching lines and not have to worry about shutting down a certain guy. And especially when you're at home, that takes away a level of the home ice advantage. When you have that last line change, you can take advantage of matchups if you have advantageous matchups. But if you don't have a game-changing player, well, there's no such matchup to take advantage of. So, I wonder where it's going to come from. I like seeing that the team is starting to put more pucks in the net the last few games, but I wonder how sustainable it is because I still just don't see anybody that an opposing coach is going to look at this roster and say, we have to shut him down and here's how we do it.
Yeah, one last quick thought, too, before we move on to the next segment is, how about the Ottawa Senators and the goaltending depth that they have?
No kidding.
I mean, you look at them from all the levels and the fact that they traded Robin Lehner and just stole one from Buffalo on top of it, getting a first-round pick and baggage to boot. But and a great, great organization drafting goaltenders.
And now we got Chris Driedger back up in the NHL.
Yep. The Iceman Insights Injury Report.
That's a lot of alliteration. It's a tip of the tip of the cap to Ficarelli.
Tip of the tongue to Ficarelli.
No, I don't. No, no. I want my tongue and his tongue never shall meet. Season totals through 16 games. The Icemen have dressed 30 different players already, and we are up to 51 man games lost to injury. Some of the key injuries. It's pretty key when your captain goes down. Jarrett Lucan has missed 10 games and is day-to-day. In my mind, probably the best overall defenseman on this team, Benjamin Dieudet-Fauvel, has missed 12 games and is day-to-day. As mentioned, Grenham is currently in Binghamton, but he missed 9 games with an injury before getting the call-up. Bengtsberg has missed 6 games and is still week-to-week. Matthew Zay, a promising young player who came from above from the affiliation, missed 8 games before returning in Alaska, and now Dalton Levier has missed a game and is day-to-day, which brings us to the long-awaited return of Mad Speculation by the Mad Scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
Let me get my lab coat on.
Yes, 100% free of facts because the truth hurts way more than just making stuff up.
Take off your clothes and sit on this table.
Yeah.
What are these straps for?
The Cliff's Notes version, for those who are new to the show. Last season, the Mad Scientist gave us a crash course on a variety of medical ailments. We learned about, my favorite, gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification, leprosy, ruminating virulence, viento borrascoso. We were schooled on erratic palpitations of the human spirit, not to be confused with erotic palpitations, telltale hearts, and, this is a bad one, abnormalities of the claustrospelunker. We were taught to treat somnambulism with an antiseptic bloodbath, to treat officium defunctorum with stereotaxic atrocities, and to treat spectrophobic dementia via immersion in earthenware pots to produce absolute body quiescence. We were introduced to the horrors of a ruptured skeezix, proprioception, and finding oneself besprinkled in scarlet horror, and we discovered the unspeakable terrors of being invaded by the dreaded parasite known as Architeuthis. And last but certainly not least, we discussed the personal hell that is the most agonizing injury of all, a broken penis. So, with Levier on the shelf with what the team is calling a lower body injury, they say they are quote-unquote playing it safe, and that he was held out Sunday for precautionary reasons. Well, that there is a lot of mysterious ambiguity, but we have here the Dr. Dirty D to share more wisdom and clear things up with some mighty fine details.
First of all, if you just look at my resume from last year and all the ailments, is there no doubt that that was a 15-win team with what was going on in that locker room?
I know, right?
Medically speaking.
They dealt with a lot of stuff, so, but never lupus.
Yes. But so Dalton Levier on the shelf. Coach called me while they were up in Alaska. I had him describe the symptoms to me.
Oh, and a long-distance consultation?
Oh, yeah.
How much do you charge for that?
Well,
beer?
Let's just say I'm still not getting my job back. But Dalton Levier, from what it sounds like over the phone with Coach Shims calling me, he is suffering from a caixa de reza.
Really?
Really.
Isn't that about 10 miles outside of Mexico City?
No, no. But it does come from drinking too much tequila.
Ah.
So, caixa de reza.
So, it's very common in Tijuana.
Or Hacienda. Especially when they have those big fish bowls of margaritas on special. I think that's Tuesday or Wednesday. Mm. So, yes, watch out for caixa de reza.
Caixa de reza or reva?
Reva.
Reva.
Thank you for reading my own handwriting.
Caixa de reva.
Caixa de reva.
So, for people who are concerned that perhaps they could come down with this at some point.
Yes.
How do you spell that?
Oh, you bastard. It's CAIXADERAIVA. Caixa de reva.
I'm guessing that's not really pronounced caixa, but, you know, it's the Dirty D. You can pronounce it however
well,
you darn well please.
You know, what did you prescribe last year, which was all the problems that proved it was a 15-win team? Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Stay away from the tequila.
So how do you treat it if you have this terrible ailment?
Minimize your tequila intake. Mm. So, and what happens is you end up developing, like, you know how you get plaque on your teeth? It is like a plaque on your muscles and skin.
Oh.
All affecting the lower body.
Gotcha.
Like the nether regions.
Oh.
So.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. Tequila leads to bad decision
making. So Dalton got his hands on some bad Alaska tequila.
Well, let's not talk about what he got his hands on. Let's just say that tequila and lower body plaque is a bad combination.
Gotcha.
And sweat. So, got to take it day to day. Mm. So, once the symptoms clear up, Dalton should be cleared and ready to go.
Oh, well, I, for one, feel wonderful that we now have this cleared up, and I'm not worried about him anymore. So, thank you.
I'm actually in the mood to go get a margarita.
So, anywho.
Anytime you need to know what's going on with the Evansville Icemen and their roster, where do you go? You go to the Courier Press. Oh, give me a break, Randy Beard. You go to the Icemen website, unless it's down because they're changing servers and or companies again. But you know where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, year after year after year.
Where?
IcemanManiacs.com. It is the place to find all the latest Iceman transaction and roster news. Just click over to the Maniac message board and get all the roster details you need. Shockers. Hockey. Rock song of the week.
So this past Monday, the 30th of November, was Billy Idol's 60th birthday. It's another one for the Oh My God, I Feel Old file. So in Billy Idol's honor, it's an Iceman classic. Money, money.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
Hey, we're back. 96.9 FM, WYIR, Shockley, Benigni, Iceman Insights, on the Amusement Park Radio. Music bomb. 96.9 FM, WYIR. Here we go. Upcoming games. We're in action tonight.
Yes, the Icemen return home this week. Three games at the Ford Center, all against teams we haven't played yet this season. Hey, behold, it's not Alaska or Indy or...
Cincy or Kalamazoo,
yes. Tonight, the second, the Icemen host the Missouri Mavericks at 6:15 weeknight start time. The Mavericks are a league-best 17-2-1 and winners of 12 straight. Both of their goalies have a goals against average under 170 and a save percentage over 930, which means this is going to be a test.
Yeah, this does not build well for a team flying back from Alaska that has goal-scoring problems to begin with. But stranger things have happened, and that's usually what happens in sports. I'll watch them run up four in the first period.
Yeah. Then on Friday, the Icemen face the Fort Wayne Comets.
Can I stop you for a second before we get to Friday?
Okay.
I just want to talk real quick about these old CHL teams, and they've come into the ECHL that last-minute deal last year to get them into the ECHL, and they had to change their rosters and everything else, and everyone laughed at them, and this team's a joke. You know, these teams are a joke, and they're getting into the playoffs because they got to play each other, and then the Allen Americans win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Allen is a middle of the road team now. You got Missouri playing really good hockey.
Yeah. Quad Cities playing well.
So how about this team, this league, this franchise known as the ECHL has put together a very solid business model, very solid league that's fun to watch from coast to coast. It's pretty impressive, especially after, you know, they add these teams at the last second last year, and then you have this big AHL turnover, losing all their California teams, but then gaining all these East Coast teams. It's made for some great hockey.
Yep. So, Missouri on Wednesday, then Friday, the Comets come to town for the first time this season at 7:15. They started 4-0, but they are just 5-8 since. And Friday's game is Blizzard's birthday, including bobbleheads for the first 1,000 kids 12 and under. And we will be getting there early so Evan can get one, because Evan really wants one.
Awesome. Yeah, Fort Wayne, kind of shades of the past. They've had the double whammy of injuries to their roster and Colorado calling players back up. So the old revolving door only revolving out right now to both the IR.
It's a one-way street.
Yeah, they were actually forced to make a couple of trades just to get some healthy bodies in there
It seems like they're signing a new goalie every other day trying to find someone to who's healthy and can play. And then on Sunday, the Icemen host for the first time this season the Quad City Mallards at 5:15. It'll be duck season. Quad City, talk about a tale of two teams. They are fantastic at home. They're 10-1-1 at home, but terrible on the road. Through the weekend, they were just 1-6-2 on the road. So hopefully that not-so-good road team shows up here on Sunday and the Icemen can get a victory.
Now, do they still have that broadcaster that they had back at the Swander days in the CHL? Remember, he was the big, tall guy with the beard, and he was so loud he didn't even need a radio station.
Yeah, trust me, we were right next to him.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if he's still there or not. We'll find out, I guess.
I just thought that was interesting. The Dangling Tajon.
So since the Icemen ventured to Alaska over Thanksgiving, simple question. What is the longest trip you've ever taken?
Longest trip.
Distance-wise, not time-wise.
Longest trip. Probably the most fun trip I've ever had is me and a buddy got into my minivan in Evansville, Indiana, drove all the way to Seattle, Washington.
Oh, boy.
Took us 44 hours to drive there. We stopped for 2 hours. We rotated off drivers the whole way there. Got to Seattle, spent a week in Seattle, loaded up my best friend Nate with everything that we could fit into the minivan and the three of us, and drove all the way back.
Wow. From Detroit?
No, from Evansville.
Oh, really?
Yep. So
wow.
We stopped off in Denver for a concert, so it took us 57 hours to get home.
Was this before the legality of certain substances in Denver?
Yes. This was way back in, I would say, 2000. But
wait, it's sad to think that 2000 is way back.
So that is the longest trip I have ever made, and it was awesome.
Mine was not all that interesting.
Indianapolis?
California is the farthest I've ever been, actually. Anaheim. We went to, when I was in college, I'm a pro wrestling fan, and my mom entered me. It was one of those random giveaway things where it's like, hey, enter to win a trip to see WrestleMania, and it was in Anaheim that year. Lo and behold, we won. So my mom and I, it was only for two people, my mom and I flew out from Indy to Anaheim and saw WrestleMania. We actually stayed at the same hotel that all the wrestlers were staying at. Got to meet Triple H in the restaurant of the hotel and shook his hand, and my God, the man has got a his hand is bigger than my head. But yeah, that was the longest trip I've ever taken. It's the longest flight, and it was a lengthy trip, but it was a good one.
We are on air next week, December 9th, same spot, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what kicks off the amusement park, a little bit of Iceman Insights. Michael Shockley joins us from IcemanManiacs.com. And this is Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYIR. And one last thing, one last note, don't fret about this lease deal,
it's,
Maniacs.
It's going to happen.
Best quote I've heard is Ron Gary is the owner that cried lease. So he's been complaining about this lease for years. They complain about prices at Swander Ice Arena. This team is not going anywhere.
It's all negotiation.
This is all standard operating procedure for Ron Gary. So yep. I don't buy a word of it.
Yep. We will be back next week. It will be our last show of this year. We will then return in January, and hopefully next week we will have Petey, John Peterson. As long as we can work the scheduling out with the Iceman's travel schedule next week. They're going to Toledo next Wednesday, so if we can work out the timing, we will have John Peterson in the studio with us next week.
Well, obviously,
for
what
our last
we learned
show of 2015
when he was on the air last time and he talked about his girlfriend dumping him on July 4th, he obviously has some commitment issues since he's not here. So.
Exactly. So. Yeah, we'll we were going to have him on this week. It just didn't work out with the team's return from Alaska. So hopefully we'll get him in next week. And who knows, maybe next week we'll have some news to discuss on the lease front. But whether we do or not, we'll still sit down and chit-chat hockey for 25 minutes with John Peterson, and we'll have a darn good time.
Michael Shockley, IcemanManiacs.com. See you later.
See you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.